Happy New Year, everybody listening to America Tonight. Can you believe it? Where did 2011 slip away to? As we look forward to things coming up in 2012, well, of course, for the Republicans, the big push to see who will get the nomination. We start with the Iowa caucus, then move on to New Hampshire. We'll be broadcasting the show from New Hampshire, South Carolina after that. And eventually, before you blink your eyes, we'll be into the spring, and maybe somebody emerges as the true front runner. Up until this point, it's been mostly about the polls. Is it Mitt Romney? Is it Newt Gingrich? Is Ron Paul getting some buzz? Ron Paul is getting battered around, being labeled as a racist and other things for stuff that was written under his name in a newsletter. He's fending that off. While Newt Gingrich is fending off charges that he really was backing what Mitt Romney was doing when he was governor as far as health care was concerned anywhere. Anyway, and of course, money that he took as a lobbyist, when you talk about the debacle over Freddie and Fannie, he's trying to fend off charges that he doesn't know what it's like to be in the middle class because he's so far removed from it, and he was part of the damage in pushing for what he pushed for in the home mortgage sector. In the meantime, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people filled the streets in North Korea for Kim Jong-il's funeral, dead at the age of 69 a couple of weeks ago. Was it mourning or was it a photo op? That's the big question there. That's the beauty of living in America. Every time you think about it, pinch yourself, because as much as you might be furious with what's happening in Washington, the lack of action, the political gridlock, all that kind of stuff, at least you can call shows like this one and express yourself, and you have freedom of speech across the board compared to North Korea, where it's state-run. All the news that they decide is fit to pump out there. And to me, just like in Cuba, when you see people, whether they're supporting Castro or whatever's going on in some parade, it always looks like a photo op, like they're told smile or mourn or do whatever. So whether they were told to do it or not, in the snowy, snowy, wintry weather, they were there with the former leader to say their goodbyes. Now, Kim Jong-un is the son who takes over the reins from his father. So what does that mean for Korea? What does it mean for South Korea? Any chance that they'll dump their nuclear arsenal or plans to amass more? I would say fat chance. Oh, yeah. Big time, I would say, fat chance. Hey, coming up, we're going to shove somebody into the dungeon. Wait till you hear what it's about. We're going to do that in a second. But taking a look back on big things in 2011 that we hope change here in 2012, sleep, the lack of sleep and how it affects people who have your life in their hands. When you get on trains, for example, if they're not texting or sleeping, you're praying they're focusing on what they're doing. How about pilots who weren't getting enough sleep? They're crashing in lounges all over the place. And you've got that happening. And then, of course, you have the controllers this past year who fell asleep in several instances that could have been disastrous for big airliners. For one, there was one incident at Washington, D.C., in Washington, D.C., and that started the cry for, maybe you can't have these shifts where controllers, for example, are working midnight hours for weeks on end, and then they're flipped to a different shift and flipped back on the overnight hours, and their body's not getting the rest that it needs. Here's what the Transportation Secretary man, Ray LaHood, had to say about all that stuff.
We will not have controllers in towers watching movies or sleeping. They've been suspended. We'll continue to do investigations, and we will also continue to lecture controllers on the importance of taking personal responsibility.
Whew, thank goodness for that. people not watching movies and focusing on your plane trying to land safely. All right, here's our dungeon moment right from the get-go. I happen to read this. I read about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, have you ever thought about taking a cruise? Ever? Just, oh, you see the people come back from cruises. They say they ate like kings. They swam with the dolphins. It was amazing. It was romantic. It was awesome. They had plenty of drinks, plenty of gambling, and it hardly cost them anything. Whatever it was, whatever floats your boat. Well, speaking of floating your boat, for one cruise line, a British company, they've sold out almost completely two cruises for people to mark the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. And what they're going to do is follow the route of the Titanic to where it smashed into an iceberg. The demand for Titanic-related things and travel led the company to offer the chance to explore the wreckage of that, of what happened there. And so what they're offering the people who go on this cruise is people have booked berths that cost up to, they're saying, 10 grand. They're having costumes made to recreate the appearance of the original passengers. There have been requests from musicians to audition for places on the string quartet that played as the flagship of the White Star Line fleet began to list. What is the deal on that? It seems almost macabre to me. I don't know. I mean, the fascination with the Titanic, okay, I get that. But getting on to be on this boat, eating the same menus that were offered to the 1,500 people who died and the 710 who survived when the ship hit an iceberg at 11:40 p.m., something creepy about that, to pay that extra money. So for that, I'm going to have to say to these people, a little wacky that you want to do exactly what the people in the Titanic did. I get the fascination with it, but to spend all that money for it, ooh, you need a night in our dungeon. Matt Johnson, open the dungeon and let's put these people in.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
All right, if you think that's even strange, listen to this. Besides the whole cruises for these people, there's also another thing that's being offered that you can actually explore the wreckage of the submarine, you know, the Russian-built submarine, next summer at a cost of almost $60,000 a person. Well, of course, because they'd have to be so limited. How many people could you take on, you know, to follow where they struck the iceberg, go down and explore the wreckage? Oh, how is that happy? I don't know. I can just think of other ways to spend $60,000. Can't we just rent the movie or look at the documentary? I don't know. I'm missing something. You've got to help me here. It's crazy. What's the craziest amount of money that you've spent on something like that? I guarantee nobody can top that. All right, We Can Count coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
All right, topping this edition of We Can Count here on America Tonight. How about what happened at that state fair collapse? Two people have been charged with filing false claims to get Indiana State Fair money. The law folks have charged two women for falsifying hospital records. They were going to collect some bucks that were supposed to go to the victims of what happened when that stage collapsed in August. It killed 7 people, wounded 61. It was terrible. We talked about it for a couple of days on ATN. Could you think of being in those situations? You have kids. It's a state fair. Woohoo! It's open. They're playing. You're excited. And boom, that stage just went down. So one of the women was had collected a check for almost $8,000 from a remembrance fund. And that's how I think how they started to track this down, that she went to pick up the check and they knew something was wrong. They arrested her right afterwards. So they get, these two women get forgery, perjury, and attempted theft, all felonies. And, it was terrible. The scaffolding goes down, the stage lights fell on the fans, the storm went through the state fair right before Sugar Land was supposed to take the stage. You had, you know, winds up to 70 miles an hour, and you just, more than bad karma comes your way in this kind of a situation when you decide you're going to try to make some false claims. The two women, by the way, are Stephanie Murray and Sandra Hearn. How about that? This is a crazy story. Imagine if you had won the lottery and didn't know it, and then the time expired of when you could make your claim. That's what's happened. $77 million lottery ticket, the Powerball lottery. It was from a June 29th drawing. Hey, nobody showed up to claim it. That means too late. So sad. I wouldn't even want to know at this point if it was my ticket. So the unclaimed ticket, they know exactly where it was from. It was picked up at a travel center near the Georgia-Alabama line. But nobody decided that they, you know, or didn't know that they had won it. And there, people somehow think that it, there's no limits on it, but that's not true. There is a limit on it. And once it surpasses that, you cannot go back and claim that money. How about this? Holiday shoppers weren't just interested in buying American Girl dolls or iPads or anything that was hot, hot, hot. They made something else hot. Guns. According to FBI numbers on background checks, check it out. In November, with just a few days in December, the FBI reported that the number of background checks topped a previous one-month record set in December of 1,534,414 inquiries by gun dealers to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. That's how, you know, they approve, obviously, the people. So 500,000 checks were done in just the last 6 days before Christmas. So guns had to be a popular thing that were given. I'm just assuming. The National Rifle Association says the numbers indicate more people feel they need a gun for self-defense. Only 1.3% of the searches result in people being denied permission to buy a weapon. How about that? Yeah, people see what's happening and they decide that they, especially in states where they can do that, they decide that they want the protection. Sinead O'Connor racks up another record, not for her singing, but for the speed in which she was divorced. At 45, she took another husband, her fourth, but it didn't last very long. She said she knew after 3 hours within the ceremony when it was over that the wedding, I mean, that this was it, that the marriage wasn't going to work out. Boy, she should have thought of that before, huh? So 16 to 18 days, that's how long she was married to her latest husband, Barry Herridge. And they were hooked up in Vegas, had the wedding, the whole thing. And it blew apart for Sinead O'Connor in a very short amount of time. Oh, that many days. Now, I knew a guy one time, nicest guy ever, and he got married out at the ballpark in Arlington where the Texas Rangers played. And he seemed so happy, and his bride seemed so happy. That marriage lasted 2 days. So you never can tell. The appearances are deceiving. They're very deceiving. How about the states that had to reach a $538 million settlement on LCD price fixing? Yes, it's true. 8 state attorneys announced that settlement over allegations of the price fixing deal. The Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi said that Hitachi and Sharp and Samsung had organized, this is what she called it, had organized the conspiracy at the highest levels of their organization in various secret meetings and telephone conversations. They were colluding to fix prices for thin film transistor LCD panels, and they're used in a lot of things, computer screens, flat panels for TVs. And so they came up with that settlement number. That's disconcerting, isn't it? How can we gouge the people some more? What can we possibly charge them? Let's think about this for a minute. And, of course, how would you know? I mean, other than the fact that that, thank goodness, came to life. Otherwise, we'd have absolutely no clue. All right, moving ahead to something else. What's in a tweet? Well, what's in a tweet often is that it's packed with controversy. And this one is no exception. Bill Maher tweeted about Tim Tebow, who has been a big hit in Denver and just in general with people who are Christian, just people paying attention to the Tebow story. And here's what happened. Bill Maher over the weekend tweeted after the Broncos had a blowout loss to the Buffalo Bills. He wrote, "Wow, Jesus just blanked up. Tim Tebow bad." And on Christmas Eve, somewhere, Satan is Tebowing, saying to Hitler, hey, Buffalo's killing them. Ooh. So he's getting a lot of blowback for that. Tebow, whose team, the Broncos, had only had their second straight loss after a six-game winning streak, really didn't have much to say about the tweet. It was a 40-14 loss. So the Bills had their number, let's say. And he's not paying attention to everything that's happening. And, of course, Marr is an admitted atheist. He made a documentary called Religious that mocked organized religious meetings and religions and all that stuff. And he jokes on his HBO show about religion, so he's not worried about the criticism. However, there are a lot of people that are upset with the comments. Boy, tweeting has gotten more people into hot water, and it just amazes me, not so much with Mark because he's a comedian, but it amazes me some of the things that people put out there thinking that they're okay. Remember, if you're a working person, you really don't want the nasty tweets to come across your boss's desk. You don't want to really be trashing where you're working or ending up in a crazy situation that is put out all over the world wide web for everybody to see and make various opinions on. All right, one last one. A TSA worker suspended after a security breach at New Jersey's Newark Airport. Boy, they have a lot of problems there. They suspended one of the employees because they say it happened last Thursday, that what the worker did is, or at least I understand it to be this way, they failed to screen a couple of bags before sending them to a staging area to be put on international flights. A co-worker noticed the improper screening, which enabled them to quickly get a rescreening before loading the luggage onto the two aircraft. Boy, that's all we need is some bag to get through that's at least not checked. Because I still think if somebody wants to get us, they'll get us, even if it's in the skies. But you got to check those bags. You can't just leave them hanging out there. Stay with us. A couple of great interviews coming up next here on America Tonight.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panel to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Here on America Tonight, it's been a lot of reactions still over the death of Osama bin Laden. Who better to come back and join us for a segment than Jesse Ventura? This man needs no introduction. I mean, it would take half the show to introduce him, except for that his new book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. Last time he was on, we were talking about this, and he told us how you can find these documents. They're in the public domain. Is climbing up the charts. New York Times is like 6th on the bestseller list. Jesse, congratulations on the success of the book.
Well, thanks. Actually, it was 4th for about 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and now I think it's gone back to 6th, but we're blitzing it again, so maybe it'll hang in there a little bit longer. I find it interesting, though. None of my books are ever critiqued by mainstream media.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I'm baffled over that. I mean, my last book, American Conspiracies, was 7 weeks on the top 10 in New York Times, and they didn't even bother to review it.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you still made the rounds, though. Well, you got in there with Larry King before Larry decided to retire. You did a great couple of interviews with him, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
So,
no, I always get out there. You know, there's solid people out there that will talk to you, even if, you know, not everything you do is the most popular or necessarily with the, you know, the mainstream, whatever it might be.
Right. First of all, your reaction when you first heard about Osama bin Laden and the SEALs getting him and then the burial at sea.
Well, you know, I first let me state this. Congratulations to the SEALs. You know, if it's indeed true and everything they told us that happened, then, you know, they deserve great credit because they got the job done. And you can't criticize the men on the ground because they're given a mission to do, and they can't be involved in the politics. Their job is to complete that mission to the best of their ability, and obviously they did that because they got an acceptable result. Now, flipping to the other side, the politics of the matter. As I heard the news, I still had kind of a tight spot in my stomach because the precedence that's going on here, and let me state that maybe I'm a minority, but I believe in the Constitution, and I believe in the Bill of Rights, and I believe in the United States as a country of the rule of law. Mm. Now, having said that probably minority opinion, I will state this. What troubled me was we basically killed this man because of 9/11, correct?
Yes.
Well, how can you execute someone when you haven't even indicted him for that crime?
So from your point of view, and this is stuff you've talked about before.
That troubles me.
Yeah.
We're a country that's supposed to have a Bill of Rights, a Constitution, and a country with the rule of law.
Right.
There's procedures that you have to follow.
Right.
How are we allowed to simply go out and arbitrarily execute someone when we haven't even gotten an indictment from a grand jury for a crime, for the crime he's executed for?
Yeah, and you know what the reaction to that is, and I'm sure you heard what the Attorney General Eric Holder says is no. I mean, for what he did to the United States, we are justified in the action that was taken in this procedure.
And what official evidence has Eric Holder or the United States government ever come forward with in an official court of law?
You're right.
You've got these guys down in Guantanamo. We won't even get to hear any evidence on them either. And lo and behold, they'll all be convicted and put to death. Mark my words.
Yeah.
They will be convicted and put to death, and we will hear nothing about any of the evidence. And then they'll come out and say to people like me, see, we convicted the 9/11 perpetrators. You people that question 9/11 are crazy.
Right, saying that it was done through the military tribunal and that commissions.
Well, what military do they fight for?
Yeah.
That's my question. These are a gang of thugs. They're no different than hypothetically if we took the Hell's Angels. Are you then going to go assassinate Sonny Barger and think you've destroyed the Angels? Absolutely not. The Angels will live on.
Yeah.
Just as Al-Qaeda will.
Yeah.
But the point is, you can't just go assassinate the leader with, I mean, for God's sake, didn't we try the Germans in Nuremberg?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
How come that's out now? How come we can't even have a trial of these supposed war criminals?
And why do you think that is?
Because they don't have no evidence.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they had evidence, they wouldn't worry about not having a trial.
Yeah.
When you don't have evidence, you don't have trials.
Yeah. Do you think, because, you know, there's people listening to this in New York, and there's people who lost family and friends when the towers went down, for example.
Sure.
They're probably saying, oh, I love Jesse. What's he saying? Why is he saying that? I mean, this guy.
Well, let me ask this question. I've done more reading on 9/11. Maybe you can answer this for me.
Mm-hmm.
1,400 cars that day in Manhattan were turned to toast. They blew up on fire. Explain that to me. When two planes hit two towers and caused them to collapse, and yet over on the FDR over six blocks away, you have cars exploding into flames?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying...
What caused that? I think that I'm entitled to find out an answer to that.
Yeah. Do you think we ever will find out an answer?
What I'm getting to is... The three things that they said happened that day did not happen. It was not a pancake collapse caused by two airplanes. There were no pancakes. The buildings were disintegrated. Number two, it was not regular demolition because these buildings disintegrated on the way to the ground. They went from the top down. And number three, it wasn't nanothermite because nanothermite only burns. It doesn't explode. And you have these buildings turned into powder.
Mm-hmm. So I'm playing devil.
Who had the power to do that? Osama bin Laden?
Right. I'm playing devil's advocate with you for sure. Because what happens
right, but
is.
I ask you, Osama bin Laden has that kind of power?
Oh, no.
To get cars exploding on the streets?
No. Mm-mm.
Fire engines burning? You want to hear something else that's interesting?
What I'm saying
to you is this, basically. A weapon may have been used much like a microwave that day. You know how you can take a chicken, piece of chicken, and put it on a paper plate and stick it in the microwave and the chicken will burn but the plate won't?
Yeah.
Think about that a minute. Because how else could you have? There were over 3,000 toilets in the World Trade Center, yet they didn't find even pieces of any of them. What happened to them?
Yeah.
Those buildings disintegrated. They didn't collapse to the ground.
Right.
They disappeared.
And then the what somebody would say, because you know what the reaction was with Bin Laden's death, the chanting of USA outside of the White House and in the streets of Vegas and in New York. And then what people will say is, well, listen, he's part of Al-Qaeda. The goal was to get Americans or Westerners and others.
Well, great. So, then here's what I say. Since we've got him now, let's bring the troops home immediately.
I agree.
Haven't we won?
Yep, I agree. I agree.
So, wasn't it he that started the whole thing?
I agree.
That's what they told us.
Yeah,
that
I agree.
He started the whole thing. We've now got him. Let's bring the men and women home right now. Bring
yeah.
them all home.
I agree. I think it should happen now instead of this crazy 2014 or who knows down the line. So
well,
what do you think
that's... that that's not the reason we're there.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the reason?
The reason we were there was to get the people that got us on 9/11. Well, supposedly we just got them.
Right.
So let's bring them home. Now, having said that, how do we really know we got him?
We don't have a photograph.
Let's look at this a moment.
Yeah.
They lied about the murder of Pat Tillman, didn't they?
Yep.
They lied about the rescue of Jessica Lynch, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They lied about weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda on the Iraq War, didn't they?
Yep.
Well, why would I now believe them when they tell me they got Bin Laden when there's no body, they got rid of it very quickly? How come?
Because they don't want you to know.
Well, why not?
Yeah, because
if they did what they said they did, and if they want to get the guy that got us on September 11th, don't we as a people have a right to see it?
Yeah. But what about, see, here's what somebody else would say, though, Jesse. What about the Navy SEALs? You know, you're a retired Navy SEAL. How do you get the SEALs to be on board with this?
Well, how do you know that, how do you know they know?
Yeah.
They may have gone on to the target. What if there's what if the guy's an imposter sitting there that looks like him?
Right.
What are you going to do? Fingerprint him?
Yeah, they said DNA, but no, you're not. You have no time
well,
for fingerprints.
I'd like
yeah.
to know how they did that test so quickly.
Yeah.
But and where did they get his DNA sample from?
Yeah. So you say
well,
a lot.
You know, I don't
yeah.
know all these things they had and did so quickly. You know, it's kind of like when they arrested Lee Harvey Oswald so fast. Anyway. But
lots of questions,
okay,
yeah.
If you're the SEALs on the ground, you're not political. You're given a target. You've been training for this. You are the professionals. You're going to go in. What it shows me what happened is that our policy hasn't changed from Vietnam. And you know what that is? If the SEALs go in, they will give him one opportunity to surrender.
Right.
If he fails to take advantage of that opportunity, he will be eliminated.
And that's what happened.
Trust me, that's how
yeah.
you're trained and taught in the SEALs.
Sure, and
we
that's what happened.
We are unconventional warfare, not conventional.
Yeah, yeah.
So he would be given one opportunity. If he failed to respond to that opportunity, he would then be eliminated. It was that way during Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. And that's what
so
probably
the
happened.
So hasn't changed on the SEAL level.
No.
If they send us in, that's what you're going to get.
Sure, you're going to get them.
And they know that going in.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, we could talk about this for a very long time. Jesse Ventura, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read, lots of questions. Boy, he's opened up the Pandora's box for all of you listening to us on America Tonight. We'll be back with more. Thanks, Jesse.
Sure. My pleasure.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Well, it's no surprise that everybody knows what a great big dog lover I am. Ever since I got my golden retriever, Mahalo, he's provided hours of fun, and hopefully we're providing hours of fun for him, too. Some of the crazy things that we've gotten into and the cool things that we've been able to do because of Mahalo. A lot of you know you've sent me pictures of your dogs and told me about your stories. We're going to introduce you to another dog lover who's written a book. He is an author now. He's a film and TV composer, Alan Lazar, and he owns two dogs, Milan and Nelson. He's got the book out called Rome. Hey, Alan, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Kate? Thanks so much for having me on the show, huh?
Well, thanks so much for coming on. First of all, I got to ask you about the names of your dogs, Milan. Is that Milan because of Milan, Italy?
It is. You know, it was one of those names when she was born, when she was a little puppy, we kind of gave it to her because we couldn't think of anything else, and then it just kind of landed up sticking. So it was one of those names by default, which we now like very much.
And the same thing, what happened with Nelson's name?
Nelson is just a name that I've kind of always liked, and there are a lot of kind of heroic Nelsons going through history, Lord Nelson of the British fleet and Nelson Mandela, and I just thought it had a really sort of great statesman-like sound to it, so I thought it would be a great hero's dog name.
I like that. And what kind of dogs are your dogs?
They're actually both miniature poodles. You know, I am actually allergic to dogs, which is really bad considering I'm such a dog lover. Every dog I see, I just want to go and hug. But I do actually get sneezes and asthma from them. So I can only have a hypoallergenic dog in our home, which is why we have poodles, which are amazing dogs, actually. They're such smart dogs, and they're just wonderful companions.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you. So how does a guy who, by the way, I'm sure a lot of people recognize your name, but just in case they don't, I mean, you just so many, I can't even, off the top of my head, I'm thinking Sex and the City, you wrote the theme to that, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills films too. Before we jump into the dogs, the of all the films that you did, because you've done at least 30 films and you've written scores for so many, what was your favorite one to do?
You know, I think most recently it was an amazing movie called An American Crime, which Catherine Keener actually got a Golden Globe nomination for. It's a really scary thriller set in Indiana, and that was probably my favorite score. I really loved doing the music for that.
And when you do a score, do you do it where you're – are you watching dailies or you have a flavor of the film, or how does that work for you?
Generally, I'm watching dailies or a rough cut of the movie. Although I must say the last couple of years I've noticed that's changing quite a bit. You know, for instance, the movie Inception, which was scored by Hans Zimmer, that was the first really big budget movie where he actually wrote the music before they edited the movie. And that's starting to happen a lot more. Actually, when I do tracks for Real Housewives, that's the way we do it because the editors like to kind of edit to music. And it's really fun for a composer because I kind of get to set the tone of things before they actually edit anything.
I was going to say, I think that's interesting to do it that way. And also, when you did it the other way, I wondered if they would make you sign a non-disclosure form because you're seeing the movies before we get to see the movies.
Actually, what they do is that they stamp my name all over the picture. So if I ever were to like leak out that picture, my name would be all over it. That's the way they protect themselves.
Yeah. Oh, how neat. So what a fascinating career you have. And now you, as you mentioned, you're a dog lover and you have your miniature poodles and you like all the dogs that you meet and you see. So how did you come up with this concept for, okay, I'm going to put this book together? What led you in that direction?
You know, when I was a teenager, I loved a book called Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which I think has inspired a lot of people. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I got the idea to do that sort of book, that like adventure book with a bit of a, you know, inspiring twist to it. I wanted to do that sort of book with a dog as the hero. And then what happened is I started seeing a lot of articles in the newspapers about dogs that had been lost for 2 or 5 or even 10 years and were reunited with their owners thanks to the miracles of chip technology. Very, very recently, there was actually a case where an amazing pit bull called Petunia, who was lost in Virginia 8 years ago, was found in California recently and was actually reunited with the owners for Christmas. And these sort of stories just fascinated me because, you know, what happened to the dogs in that time? How did they survive? How did they travel so many thousands of miles? And that was kind of the impetus for me to write Rome, to try and answer some of those questions, which I think a lot of dog owners would probably be interested in.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, if we could just get into their minds, can you imagine the stories that we would hear of what it would be like on that kind of a journey? I can't even imagine.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think in general, I think folks are fascinated by adventure stories. I think they speak to all of us. They like every man, every woman's stories about life and surviving and love lost and found and, you know, the importance of family, really, at the end of it. And there's a lot of that in Rome. It's a book for dog lovers, but I think it's a book for anyone interested in, like, a journey through life. What's it all about?
Yeah, I agree with that. I noticed in Rome, too, that in your book, the story centers around a lost dog named Nelson. So there you're borrowing a little from your own personal life. Now, how did you come up with the amount of years and the miles? Because as you said, you read about all these stories that many of us have read about and talked about. We've talked about them here on America Tonight. You just decided, ooh, 8's kind of a good number, and we're going to make it a lot of miles.
You know, it was kind of, I just wanted something that would represent a really big portion of a dog's life. And, you know, little dogs can live 10, 15 years. And I wanted to cover the whole lifespan from when Nelson in the book was born until he's an old age dog. And that 8-year period of being lost kind of was the figure that emerged that made the most sense, you know?
Yeah. And in the because what always people want to know, and this is always the first thing I think of, ooh, how did the dog get lost? How did this dog find its way away from its owner? In this dog, it's sadly, it's about a girl who doesn't, am I right, doesn't latch the gate one day, right?
Well, I think, you know, in my story, Katie, who's the lead human character, she's a concert pianist. And she picks up Nelson at a pet store, and Nelson is actually a mutt in my novel Rome, and nobody wants him. They want to get a pedigree dog, and she's the one who kind of picks him out and gives him a home, and she becomes his great love. In my book, there's the concept that all dogs' first owners is their great love. It will be this love for the rest of their lives. Unfortunately, some problems ensue in Katie's marriage, and one day her husband actually leaves the gate open by mistake in the midst of their kind of marital turmoil. And Nelson is, he loves his owner, but at the same time, he's a very curious dog. He smells all these amazing things on the wind, and he decides he's going to go out and explore, as many dogs would, given, you know, the same situation. And that sets the path for his long journey for 8 long years, trying to find his owner and find his way home, which, very good.
Yeah, which is pretty scary when you think about it. Like we said, can you imagine being in that mind, wondering what's happening? Talking about what you're talking about, you also mentioned at the end some pretty sobering statistics, which I think is great. I'm so glad that you did that, Alan, because people don't realize often what they're doing with the population of dogs. And then I hate the idea that you have dogs that just can't get adopted and they have to be euthanized. So you talk about that at the very end, right? You talk about the statistics of spaying and neutering dogs. For some reason, I don't understand how people make that disconnect. When you adopt a dog, you have to do this. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I didn't know the figures until I actually wrote the book, and then I started doing more research just because I wanted to make everything as realistic as possible. And what I discovered is pretty shocking. Like, between 4 and 5 million dogs and cats are euthanized in shelters every year. And, a lot of folks would say, well, if there weren't pedigreed, dog breeders out there, a lot of those dogs in shelters would actually get adopted by loving homes, which is what they want to do. And, I think that the other thing, which I took away from my research, is that one unspayed female and her offspring can reproduce 67,000 dogs over the course of 5 years, because they're 2 to 15 pups in each litter. And if each of those goes on to reproduce, that is actually the figure, 67,000. So, Rome is meant to be an inspiring story and a piece of entertainment, but I think if there's a message at the end of it, it's keep your dog spayed, put a microchip in them, and, next time you need a new pet, just go down to the shelter. There's a dog or a cat just waiting for you there.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. Before we let you fly, I got to ask you about this, because, of course, you're a composer. We talked about that as well during this interview, and you apparently have written 7 original songs about Nelson and his adventures. Is this true?
Yes, it is. When we were busy editing the book, my editor, the publisher, suggested, knowing that I was a composer, she suggested that I actually write some music to accompany the book, which at first I was like, wow, that's a kind of unusual idea. And then the more I thought about it, it was like, well, that can actually enhance the emotional experience for listeners. So I wrote these 7 piano pieces, which can be accessed by Microsoft Tags, which you scan with your iPhone while you're reading. Or you can also go to my website, alanlazar.com. That's alanlazar.com. And the pieces are also there on the website. And they're meant to be kind of listened to at 7 key points in the story. So you kind of take a break from reading and listen to some music. And I was pretty happy with the way it turned out. And we've been getting great feedback from readers. So.
What a innovative thing to do, too, with technology. Alan, good luck with the book. Everybody can go pick it up. He mentioned his website already. You can get it wherever books are sold, of course, and it's called Rome. Alan, happy holidays, and thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks so much, Kate. And happy-